go with me to John's Gospel. John's Gospel, the 8th chapter. John's Gospel, the 8th chapter. For the sake of time, we'll just read verse 44, but I promise I will put it all in proper context for you. Verse 44. And I will add, you don't have to read it with me, but I will add verse 58 because this is where we'll end up. The Word of God says, John's Gospel, the 8th chapter, verse 44. And this is Jesus speaking. How do we know? It's in red ink. Man, y'all are tough today. John 8, verse 44, this is Jesus speaking, and he's speaking specifically to a set of religious people called Pharisees and Sadducees. And they're having a debate, a discussion in the temple. They're in church having this conversation. And Jesus says this, "You are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it." Verse 58 declares, and Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am." Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. I thank you for its purpose and its intention this morning. The word of God is quickening. It makes the spirit to come alive because it is alive. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide asunder soul from spirit and discern the intentions of our heart. Father, speak to us today. Give us a right now word. A word that changes, yes, everything, but also our nature and causes us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. A word that transforms us by the renewing of our minds. Touch our hearts so it's open to receive that word. Anoint our ears so that we can hear it. Father, the most important thing is that you have your way this morning. And God, you've asked me to preach this message. So I stand here as your yielded vessel to do so. So Father, I ask personally this morning that every word I speak obliterates the kingdom of darkness, not only in this church, but in the lives of these people and in this city. God, I thank you that the enemy will have no stronghold in this area. And I thank you for what you've asked me to do now is the very beginning of the defeat of darkness that hovers over this city in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Now, I know you didn't understand all that because it wasn't for you. Amen. But this is for you. Can you look at your neighbor, smile as bright as you can? Come on. Show them everything God has blessed you with. Y'all already been hard on me already this morning. So please be a little bit easier and smile. Come on. Show your neighbor your pearly whites, everything God has blessed you with. If you got gold teeth, it's okay. It is Baltimore. Amen. Come on, look at them with everything you got. Say, the devil is a liar. For some of you, it's the first time you ever even said such a thing. Come on, find somebody else and say, the devil is a liar. Oh, my God. I'm going to preach this morning, whether you like it or not. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The devil is a liar. Jesus is in the temple, and I'll get to where we need to go very quickly. And excuse me if I am going at a feverish pace. It's simply because I do want to get you home. But I do want to make sure you get the proper context of everything. We took a passage of scripture in John 8, verse 44, that describes Jesus in a setting such as this, speaking to some of the people of the synagogue, the rulers of the synagogue, and they are questioning Jesus' motives. They are questioning his record. And in the beginning of chapter 8, they tried to trick him by suggesting or bringing somebody to him that was caught in adultery. The Bible says that they brought to him a woman in the morning and came into the temple, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought her unto Jesus. And the Bible says that she was taken in adultery, and they set her in the midst. And they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken into adultery in the very act. And he says, they begin to quote the law of Moses. Everybody said the law of Moses. Come on here. This is very important. I know I don't have a lot of time. We had PowerPoint and all that, but I ain't giving none of that to you because I just got to hit it and run, all right? Watch this here. So they're quoting the law of Moses. Touch the name and say, the law of Moses. Come on here. The law of Moses represents, if you will, the past. And so they're quoting the law of Moses. And they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken into adultery. Now the law of Moses commands us that such should be stoned. This woman should be killed. What do you say? They said this, and they tempted him that they might have an accusation against him. They wanted him, my God, to say something about the law of Moses because they wanted to make sure that, if you will, he was in compliance with the old way of doing things because he was asserting that he was something new. And so the battle was really a battle of timing or of the times. And what they were trying to do was get him to convince everybody, if you will, that he was against Moses and also against Abraham, which would attack the very foundation of their faith. The Bible says that Jesus stooped down on the ground and began to write with his finger. He drew a line in the dirt, and he was continually writing, and he didn't say anything. The only thing he said is, he who was without sin cast the first stone. Touch your neighbor and say, he was setting them up. Come on here. I got to hurry up and get to where I need to go. He was setting them up. He was saying to them, listen, there's nobody here that does not have sin in their life. And the reason he could say that is because he knew that in the law and in the prophets, which they adhered to, that it was written that a Messiah would come. And when he would come, he would take away the sins of the world. They did not believe that he was the Messiah. And so he was able to get over or win the argument by letting them know, hey, guess what? You don't know if the Messiah is here or not, and you don't believe in him anyway. And so therefore, therefore he who was without sin, go ahead and stone the woman. Because they knew the law, they knew that there was nobody on the face of the planet without sin, and therefore they couldn't stone the lady. And the Bible says one by one they walked out of that courtyard, which was in the synagogue, and they went back to doing what they was doing, scheming on how they were going to trick Jesus. The woman was still standing there, and he looked at the woman and he said, is there anybody here to accuse you? And the woman says, no, sir. He says, well, since there's nobody here to accuse you, neither will I accuse you. Go your way, sin no more. As a believer, Jesus Christ has taken away the ability for you to be accused of anything. So your fight, my God, of your faith is no longer that of sin, but rather obedience to the Father. I'm preaching better than you're shouting already. Now, what you have to understand then is that it doesn't end there. Jesus goes on to give them a deeper revelation of who he is. He then says, I am the light of the world. My God, he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. They could not understand that. They could not get with that. And therefore, then he begins to talk to them about Abraham. And he begins to say that, listen, I'm trying to convey to you who I am, but you seem not to be able to get it. And since you can't get it, I'll speak to you on your terms. And so I'll say to you that, yes, you are the descendants of Abraham, but Abraham is not your spiritual father. He is your biological heritage and not your spiritual heritage. Jesus was trying to say, what I'm doing is in the realm of the spirit, not in the realm of the natural. And so, yes, Abraham is your earthly father, but I am your spiritual father. And if you knew my father spiritually, then you would know his son. Because you don't know his son, then therefore you must be the children of darkness. Because you don't know who I am and you don't receive me for what I'm saying I am, then you must be of your father, the devil. Since you are of your father, the devil, he is a liar. He is a deceiver. He does not have the truth. He is incapable of speaking truth because he is a liar. I'm about to go somewhere with this thing. He's not saying that the devil lies. He's saying he is a lie. Your problem, I love you, your problem is that when bad things or evil things happen, you insert this mindset, we were deceived, or something awful took place, and then therefore, my God, you say, well, God, why do you allow these things to happen? And therefore you get confused and upset with God because you think he's doing it because he's allowing it to happen. But you must understand, the Bible says, when Jesus made the statement, you are of your father, the devil, because he is a liar, he wasn't suggesting that the devil lies. He was saying, no, he is an absolute lie. He is a counterfeit of the real thing. Everything he is and everything he does is counterfeit. That means it is trying to imitate the real thing. You have religions that are counterfeits of the real thing. You have people who are counterfeits of the real thing. You have preachers who are counterfeits of the real thing. And the reason somebody counterfeits something is because it has value. You don't counterfeit anything. No one is concerned about a counterfeit Casio watch. My God, you would care less. But if somebody handed you a Rolex, my God, or a Breitling watch and said, here, this is the real thing, and you took it and had it examined and appraised for insurance purposes, and the adjuster said to you that this is a fake,
forgery, a phony. You will be beside yourself. The reason somebody sold you the counterfeit is because it had value. The reason our adversary is a counterfeiter is because he knows the kingdom of God is extremely valuable. So he tries to set up his hierarchy like God set up his hierarchy. He tries to set up his throne like God sets up his throne. He tried to take a third of the angels, but he did not know God created the angels. I know that this is not, you're not accustomed to this type of preaching, but you're going to get it anyway. 10 minutes. Watch this here. I ain't kidding. Because I got four more Sundays to get this to you. I do. So watch this. Watch this. Everything that operates in the kingdom of God operates in the kingdom of darkness. The problem is that when it comes to the kingdom of God, it is spiritual. Oh, yeah. But our faith in the kingdom of God is all spiritual with little to no practical relevance. But when it comes to the kingdom of darkness and contending with it, then all of a sudden it becomes practical and natural. So we spend our time fighting flesh and blood issues when we're not supposed to be in a war with flesh and blood. Paul goes on to say, for we wrestle not, Ephesians 6, against flesh and blood. Here's the hierarchy of the kingdom of darkness, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Four. I wish I had somebody to help me out. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. He has the same system in place that God has. You're saying, well, where's God's system before? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, up and you. I wish I had somebody in here with me. This is why the enemy hates you. You took his place. He was called Lucifer. God created him as the day star. The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, I had a PowerPoint for you, but guess what? You're just going to have to believe me. The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, he's called the day star, that when he praised the Lord, God, he would stoke the coals of fire. That means he was created to praise God. And when he would praise God, he would create an energy force field around the throne of God. And God would move in and out of that sort of praise. But when God created the heavens and the earth, he had a grand idea and said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. I wish I had somebody to help me out. And so watch this now. I got to slow down. I got to slow down. I got 10 minutes, but I'll slow down. He said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Let them have dominion over all the earth. Then we see for the first time the enemy coming into the picture. The Bible says he came into the earth, which he was already present when it was recreated, but he came because he had to fall somewhere. He came into the earth, and when he did so, what did he do? He took the form of a serpent. Somebody say, why? Because when Satan fell from heaven for trying to contend with God, I'll give you these later, but he said, I will, 5 times before the throne of God, and one of the I wills was, I will be like God. What he was saying was, I want to be God. I want to take his place. I don't want to worship him. I want people to worship me. And so he says, I will be like God. And when he saw that God made man in his image and after his likeness and the power that man had, he said, oh, I gotta go and corrupt that hierarchy, because that man is the only thing on the face of the planet that has the express image of God on the inside of it. No one's in here with me. And the power and the authority to decree a thing and watch it be established to be like God. So I have to go and corrupt him. I wish I had somebody in here with me to stop God's plan. And so he took the form of a serpent. Why? Because a snake is, oh, glory to God, is one, the way God created snakes is that they shed skin. Listen to me very carefully. And because they shed skin, they can mimic, Lord have mercy, other species to stick around longer than they should. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. A black mamba snake, one of the deadliest in the world, can stand on its back tail up to 6 feet, 2 inches tall. I need help from somebody. Can you imagine going to the orange grove? I wish I had somebody. Or coming out your backyard and you see a black mama, 6 foot two, looking at you like, what's up? I don't have time to stay there. It's more cunning and more crafty, the Bible says. And so he took that form of a serpent and beguiled Eve, and there goes the fall. I don't have time to stay there. That's a whole nother preach. And then he begins, my God, to diabolically try to confuse man throughout his history, allowing him to set up kingdoms and religions, all counterfeits of the real deal. If I can, real quick, the Bible says that in 2 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, verse 11, Paul says this to the Corinthians. He says, look here, I want to stick, if you allow me to paraphrase, I want to stick to the real issue, which is the gospel, unless Satan gets an advantage over us. I don't want to be confused with an argument about something that is a waste of my time. I need to make sure we stay focused unless Satan gets the advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. For the enemy comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And I asked the Holy Ghost, I said, what does he steal? And the Holy Ghost said to me emphatically, without a reservation or without hesitation, he doesn't steal joy, he doesn't steal peace, he steals time. Touch your neighbor and say, he's a time stealer. That's why Paul said, let's stay focused on why we are here. If we get caught up battling something that I should not be battling, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Your problem is not a person. Your problem is not a boss. Your problem, my God, I wish I had somebody to help me out. It's not somebody that abused you. That's not your problem. It was the spirit at work in the individual that caused you the pain. Your problem, my God, I feel like preaching to somebody. It's not in any individual. It's not a person on this planet. That's your problem. I gotta hurry up. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. So you spend time praying against flesh and blood. When we wrestle not against flesh and blood, you've made issues that are spiritual flesh and blood issues, and it is a waste of your time. No Christian should ever argue with any other Christian about anything. No Christian should ever argue about any other non-religious Christian about their religion. If you want to be a Muslim, be a Muslim. I am saved by faith through grace. If you want to be a Hindu, be a Hindu. I know Jesus. I wish I had somebody. If you want to be Buddhist, God bless you. I promise you the Holy Ghost will find a cultural bridge for me to be able to speak your language so that you can understand my joy and my peace.
The reason why our faith is ineffective is because we are fighting things that are flesh and blood. Christian against Christian. Christian against non-Christian. I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. I lied about that 10 minutes. It's more like 13, 14. I gotta hurry. Watch this. Christian against Christian. I'll jump the point. Christian against non-Christian. Christian against social justice or social injustice. Christian against other world religions. So we got missionaries going over to Cambodia and over, I wish I had somebody, and all over Africa and all over the world. And, you know, and I wish I had somebody help. As if God is not the ruler of the entire world. Y'all not in here with me. We're spending time and money and effort on issues, my God, that could not be issues or shouldn't be issues if the church would simply display the power of the true and living God. Huh, God, you don't have to convince anybody of your faith when your faith is in action and people can see it working in your life. I feel like preaching to somebody in here. My God, I was preaching the gospel in Africa, and the guy, the preacher said, we're going to go and we want you to preach over here, and it's all Muslims. I said, well, why do you want me to preach to Muslims? They don't share our faith. He says, because Jesus heals and there are sick Muslims. I wish I had somebody in here to help me out. And he says, Allah doesn't heal. They can't get healed with Allah, but they can get healed with Jesus. So if you preach healing, they'll listen to healing. Yeah, what's wrong with y'all this morning? I went up in there and preached the healing power of God, converting people who were born Muslim. I wish I had somebody help me out that came over to Jesus Christ, not by a gun in their face, but because they saw the display of the power. We are losing because we're losing time. Daniel speaks of it. I'm almost finished. Daniel speaks of it. I'm about done because y'all not going to kill me. Daniel speaks of it. And Daniel says this. He says it because he knows the methods of Satan. All right. And one of the greatest methods is, first of all, a misdirection of priorities. He's got you fighting with the tyranny of the urgent. I'm preaching better than y'all. So everything is an emergency. I don't have enough money. I need more of this. I need a better job. That's the tyranny of the urgent. I wish I had somebody to help me out. So you're on a feverish pace to try to catch up with your life as if God has not been in total control. Oh, God, Lord, have mercy. With the peace and the grace and his mercy surrounding your life. Can you just touch your neighbor and allow me to parenthetically insert this? Shout, I walk in the favor of God. I feel like preaching to somebody. As a believer, you are surrounded with favor like a shield. When you wake up in the morning, you got it. When you go to bed at night, you have it. When you mess up, you still got it. Somebody shout, I walk in the favor of God. You don't have to be on a feverish pace to catch up with anything. Not by power, nor by mind. I don't have time. Watch this. I'm sorry. I'm giving it to you in piecemeal. Misdirection of priorities. Misdirection of priorities. Your priorities are jacked up. And because you don't know, the enemy is stealing time. He's causing you to burn out. So you spend 3 and 4 days in a mental haze where you cannot function because you're trying to figure out, why is my energy zapped? And why am I down like this? And why am I feeling depressed? Because he's been seeping time from your life, because he wants to convince you not of your past but of your future, that he knows there's something down the road. You think you're being contended with. My God, I'm preaching better than your shout, because the devil knows your future. He doesn't know your
future. He just keeps you in the tyranny of the urgent so he can position you on the edge of tomorrow so that you can be concerned about what's down the road. But the Bible says, give no thought about tomorrow, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Because, listen to me carefully, I know I couldn't give it to you the way I wanted to. Because the devil is not God. He is not omnipresent. He cannot be everywhere at all times. He has to roam to and fro because he's a counterfeit. So he can't be in your future if he's in your past. I just said a thing and y'all ain't even. So because the only place he can be is in your past, he tries to antagonize you so you can give him clues about your future. He doesn't have the information. Only God knows what your future holds. Why does he want to know my future? Because an enemy that knows your future knows you cannot win. That's why he wants to know your future. If the enemy knows your future, he can't lose. If he knows you're supposed to be here at this time to meet this person, yeah, I wish I had somebody, then he can disrupt that process so that you miss that opportunity. Paul said, my God, I'm going to stay in Ephesus. Why? Because there's a great and effectual door that is open unto me. But there are many adversaries. There are many devils here, but I got them on the run. Touch your neighbor and say, you about to have them on the run. And the devil is about to get the hell out of your life, out of your children's life, out of your business life, out of every part of your life, because the devil is a liar. God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost in here. Somebody show he is a liar. Watch this. I gotta give this to you and then I'll quit. Go, do it with me. Go to Daniel. Do it with me. I wasn't going to do this, but I'll take you Wednesday night real quick. Come on. Go to Daniel. Daniel 7, verse 25. Watch this. Daniel has an image, a vision of four beasts. Okay. And in the fourth beast, he gives a description. This is Daniel. This is thousands of years before Christ. This is thousands of years before the text we've taken in John 8. I want you to see it for yourself. Daniel 7:25. Do you have it? Are you sure? And the Bible says in Daniel 7:25, my God, he says, and verse 24 describes that there'll be another kingdom and the king shall come out and so forth. And that verse the first, and he shall do three kings. And the Bible says in verse 25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High. I wish I had somebody. And shall wear out the saints. And shall wear out the saints, burn you out, wear you out, so that you're saying, do I gotta go to church again? Do I have to give another praise? Does it take me doing all it? Do I have to read my word? Do I have to pray? Does it take all of that discipline? Look at your neighbor and say, yes, it does. Yes, it does. If you want to go anywhere, I wish I had somebody to help me out. His prime purpose is to wear out the saints of the Most High. When Daniel wrote this, there were no saints. God prophetically showed Daniel the future of the church. Why? So that he could have it written that in your future, something's coming to try and wear you out. But he says, he wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. Where
the biggest battles right now. Y'all not in here with me. It's in legislation to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until. Okay, don't lose me. They'll be given into his hand until a time and a times and the dividing of time. I know you're like, I don't know what that means. Here's what it means. He can only wear you out for a specific amount of time. He only has 3.5 years to wear out the saints. 3.5 years. I wish I had somebody. Touch your neighbor and say 3.5 years. That's what it means. Time and times and the dividing of times simply means 3.5 years. Look at your neighbor and say 3.5 years. So when Jesus, oh glory to God, back in John 8, is standing in the synagogue and he says, you are your father. you're speaking against the Most High and you're trying to change the times. But before Abraham was, I am. You're trying to fight a battle of time. The problem is I am outside of the realm of time. And what I'm about to do is about to render null and void your ability to wear out the saints. Jesus walked this earth and ministered for 3.5 years. The enemy only had the power to wear out the saints for 3.5 years. So Jesus says, before you even get the chance to wear them out. I don't know if you do. That means Jesus, Lord Hammer, knew what the fight was. The fight was not your joy. Touch your name and say, the devil cannot steal your joy. God, I'm preaching about this show. Look at him and say, the fight is not your praise. Touch your name and say, the devil can't steal your praise. Ah, no, y'all not in here with me. Right. Yes, he can. No, he can't. Because that's what you've been taught your entire life. Give me my praise back. Give me my joy back. You're just talking to yourself. You're not talking to the devil. You're the one that stole your joy. And you're the one that put your praise down. And you're the one that made the bad decision that resulted in. He stole my money. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Why? Because he only counterfeits what's valuable to him. Time is the most valuable thing to the devil because he knows it's running out for him. Oh God, I'm preaching better than you're shouting. So as long as he can delay the coming of God, he will continue to try to wear you out. To delay the coming, because God can only come back for a spotless, blemishless church. God, I'm preaching way better than y'all people shouting. The devil stole my money. No, he didn't. The devil stole my joy. And the devil stole my peace. And he didn't steal joy. He didn't steal peace. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. He steals time by keeping you focused on stuff that is over and done with and doesn't matter in your future. So you keep reliving yesterday over and over and over and over. Touch your neighbor and say, yesterday's gone, honey. And I'm done with everything that has to do with yesterday. And because I'm done with it, I am not afraid of tomorrow. I wish I had somebody to talk to in here. I know I'm preaching right. The enemy has convinced you. Convinced you. You're convinced that tomorrow is going to be horrible. Convinced. No, Pastor, no. Really? 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 You're convinced. Fearful of what's down the road. So your decisions are fear-based, not faith-based.
There's a valley down there. I don't know if I got to get to the other side, but it's a valley. It's dark.
That's fear. Faith is, yeah, it's a valley. But yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I wish I had a church to preach to. I shall fear no evil.
It's snowing now, son. I'm going to stay home.
Yeah, I know it's snowing. But the same God that got me to church will be the same God that got me home. I ain't got nobody to preach to. It's a recession coming. The same God that sustained me all these years will be the same God that will sustain me through anything. I got him on the run. How many of you never seen Daniel 7? Come on, raise your hand. Daniel 7, you've never seen that. Yeah, yeah, I know you're lying. Yes, okay. I love you. Wear out the saints. His job is to wear you out because he cannot win. Oh, God. He cannot win when your spirit decides that everything's going to be all right. I'm almost finished. So Jesus comes along and he fixes them and says, before Abraham was, I am. Oh God, if I had time, I don't have time. I'll give it to you another time. Before Abraham was, I am. In other words, people, Pharisees, Sadducees, religious leaders, you're getting it all twisted. You've allowed the enemy to make you search for the wrong things, the wrong priority. Before Abraham was, I am. Abraham is a past thing, but I am now. In other words, glory to God, I am means that I can be whatever you need me to be when you need me to be it, which means you don't have to worry about your past because that has been forgiven. You don't have to worry about your future because I'm already in it. All you have now is the present. And at this very present moment, what are you going to do? Touch your neighbor and say, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Here's what the enemy wants from you. And here's what you're not going to give him because I'm not going to allow you to. What he wants from you is to conduct business as usual, as if you're not in a fight. He wants you to keep on trucking. Come to church? Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with that. I wish I had somebody to help me out. Keep on trucking as if there is no war, as if there is no fight, as if he does not exist. When something bad happens, he doesn't even want you to call his name. He wants you to blame God. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. When your children go haywire, he wants you to say, God, why? Glory to God. Huh? He wants you asking the pastor and the preachers, why God this and why God that? And we've become so sophisticated in the clergy that we don't even say his name anymore. I'm preaching better than y'all is shouting. We don't look at people and say, the devil is a lie. That's the act of the enemy. He's the author of confusion. I wish I had somebody to help me out. He's a deceiver. His job is to accuse the brethren. I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting. He's Satan. Do you know what that even means? That means adversary, enemy, opposer. That's what it means. He wants you sitting in services just like this, looking at the preacher that's calling him who he is, like he's crazy. You believe in the devil? Well, if I believe in God, then obviously I believe in the devil. Here's the problem. He's already defeated. No. He's already defeated because God allows him. He lets him. He's still under God's control. He can't just do whatever he wants to do. Preaching better than y'all, Charlotte. He lets him, allows him to operate. It's the God of this world. Because Jesus has already overcome the world. So that the moment you believe on him, my God, then everything he tries to use to wear you out, hallelujah, has no real long-lasting effect on the believer. Just touch your neighbor. If you're going to help me out and I'm done, touch your neighbor and say, no weapon, 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 no weapon. And now you're looking at me because you want to know, well, if he didn't steal my joy, where it go? And if he didn't steal my peace, where it go? And if he didn't take my money, where it go? Touch your neighbor and say, it's in your hands. All you got to do is to get up and say, you know what? If the thief be found. You didn't take my money, but you took my time. You took my ability to focus on what I should be focusing on. And the Bible says, if the thief be found, he's got to return unto me the increase of his house sevenfold and give me back what he stole. Can you just touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm about to get some time back. That means when you look up 6 months from now, your life is going to be fast forwarded. That means a year from now, you'll possess things that it should have took you 5 years to get. Touch your neighbor and say, I found the thief, and his name is the devil, and he's about to give me my time back. And when I get my time back, I get my focus back. And when I get my focus back, that's where my joy comes from. Because I know it's God, the lifter up of my head, that gives me that joy, that gives me that peace. It's him that gives me the power to get wealth. Touch three people real quick and say, the devil is a liar. I'm going to preach because I feel like preaching. Come on, find three people and say, the devil is a liar. I am about to get my peace back because it's mine in the first place. I am about to get my joy back because it's mine in the first place. I'm about to get my praise back because it's mine in the first place. Slap somebody and say, I feel my praise coming on. And if you feel your praise coming on, throw your head back and give God a shout of God. I feel an anointing. I feel an anointing of the Holy Ghost. Slap three people a high five and say, the devil is a liar. He will not rob my children of their future. I hear the Holy Ghost say, scholarships, 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 scholarships. I feel an anointing in. Scholarships, 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 scholarships for your children, for your grandchildren. The devil is a liar. I feel like preaching this. He's a liar and the truth ain't in him. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, it's God that gives me the power to get wealth. I feel an anointing of wealth in this atmosphere. The devil is a liar. Loose that money in the name of... I want you to find three people that act like they halfway got the Holy Ghost and say, I'm about to get my money back because it's mine in the first place. I feel like preaching to somebody. God, I feel an anointing of the Holy Ghost. There's an anointing of the transferring of wealth in this atmosphere. Touch your neighbor and say, I receive it in the name of Jesus. The devil is a liar. Loose our money in the name of Jesus.
Somebody shout, it's mine in the first place. I'm blessed of the Lord. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed when I come. I'm blessed when I go. Somebody shout, the devil is a liar. Devil, take your hand off their minds. In the name of Jesus Christ, the devil is a liar. He's a liar. I come against every principality and power, rulers of darkness. Spiritual wickedness in high places. I come against the spirit that disrupted your past by causing you such pain that is hindering your future. God, somebody better hear me. Your freedom is nigh today. You will not relive the incident over and 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 over. God is releasing you from that pain for the rest of your life. I'm talking about sex abuse victims. In the name of Jesus, God is releasing you. I don't care if you don't get it. I don't care. Leave. If you're agitated when I say the devil's a liar, get out. Because you are not of God. You're not of God. If you got a confused look on your face when I say the devil's a liar, bye. In Christian faith, we have an adversary. It is plain in the Bible. His name is the devil. And he uses people like God uses people. And those people abused you. And it was not the people. It was the spirit at work in that person. So your fight, your pain is not flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers. That counterfeited love in an individual to abuse you. Devil is a liar. And if you want to stay bound by his tactics, then stay bound. Go on having a mundane Christian experience. Continue to act like nothing matters. Act like there is no fight. You will never possess what God promised for you to possess. Because the enemy will always come and take the time. And when you're supposed to be focused on this, you'll be arguing about that. See, that's called confusion. It's called confusion. It's called confusion. It's called confusion. Some newspaper people wanted to interview me about these reality TV shows of pastors. I said, no, thank you. They said, what do you think about Preacher of LA, Preacher of Detroit, and the thing about the preachers of Baltimore, where you being? I said, no, and no, thank you. They said, why? I said, because it doesn't matter. It's irrelative. They said, could I put that in paper? No, you cannot. I don't want any statement, anything, because I'm not a Christian against Christians. Whatever they decide to do, God bless them. I'm promoting the kingdom of God. I'm preaching the gospel. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. God bless you. They want a negative. They want Christian against Christian. That's not my fight. You're not my fight. This is why I can forgive you and love you, because you're not my fight.